Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I'll never forget the time when we celebrated Amber's birthday in Nebraska, June 21st, 2013. We went to the Omaha Zoo. We walked around in the blistering 95-degree heat for more than several hours. By the time we were done, we were both just drenched. You know, I think we headed through the penguin house or something before we left to get some air conditioning going on. And to be honest, it doesn't really sound that unforgettable because people walk around the zoo all the time. Blistering heat and you know, even in October and November sometimes, it's even cold and people are still out there walking around. It wasn't the weather that makes it memorable. It was the fact that my wife was 9 months pregnant. 9 months pregnant, 95-degree heat. Probably not the best choice we ever made, but what do? Right? You have to celebrate your birthday somehow. And the truth is that we really didn't know what was going to happen. You know, sometimes walking can induce labor, and sometimes any sort of strenuous activity can induce labor. And so we didn't know when we took off to Omaha whether or not our baby would be born or not. But we had to be prepared. So we had a bag ready, you know, clothes and necessities that we would need at the hospital just in case. Now, it wasn't for another 6 days that Naomi would be born. But that's how pregnancy works, right? You sort of live through your life and you do what you have to do, and you really can't pinpoint the exact time of delivery. You know, you get like a, you know, you kind of sort of, you know, within a week's time frame, the doctor gives you a due date, but to sort of nail down the exact minute of when delivery will start, when labor will begin, it's impossible. Now, consequently, I'll never forget the time in college when Amber and I used to drive around in this old, beat-up green van that her parents had let us use. And so one day in college, we walk out to this car to find a screwdriver-shaped hole punched into the door lock on the driver's side. And we also found that everything valuable inside the car was missing, including like the $3 and umpteen cents in change we kept in a little container. Now, if I had known when this thief were to be coming, I could have been waiting by my van with a baseball bat or a golf club, or maybe, you know, head to the security office where I worked and grabbed one of their extendable batons or, you know, a can of pepper spray. But I didn't know when that would be. I wasn't prepared for the thief to come. Now, both of these stories are very similar to what Paul writes about in 1 Thessalonians. He says, "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need for anything to be written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." You see, this church that Paul is preaching to, this church in Thessalonica, they already knew that the day of the Lord would come unexpectedly, like a thief or like labor pains. And the truth is, you do too. You're just like this church in Thessalonica. And I know that you already know that the day of the Lord is going to come unexpectedly because I've already preached that sermon to you. In fact, part of that was in last week's sermon, and part of it was a year ago and the year before and 3 years ago. You've heard this before. It's nothing new. Okay? You already know the return of the Lord is coming soon. You already know that it will happen at a time that is predetermined by God himself in heaven. You already know that no one has been given the exact day and nobody has been given the means by which to determine what point in history that day will come. And so the reading for today isn't designed to tell you when the last day will happen. It's not designed to tell you what to expect. Instead, it's designed to tell you that you need to be prepared. It's going to be a surprise. And so brace yourselves because you need to be prepared. So in order to do this, Paul uses different analogies. Okay, first, he uses dark versus light. Sleeping versus awake. And drunk versus sober. Well, you might remember from John's gospel, it tells us that Jesus is the light of the world. John 8:12. And so if Jesus is the light of the world, and we also know that Jesus is the very word of God, then what is it that enlightens you on how to prepare for Jesus' coming? It's the Word. The Word, this light, this Jesus is the one who prepares you. And so what we ought to do is we ought to take God's Word, that is the Holy Bible, and be informed by it. Read it, hear it preached, receive it in our ears. Even the absolution that we heard this morning, your sins are forgiven. If you hear those words and you believe that they are God's words, just spoken through a humble pastor, then you're being prepared. If you believe in this death and resurrection that delivers you forgiveness, life, and salvation, then you are being prepared. Because this is what makes you children of light rather than children of darkness. You are people who have been enlightened by God's promise. The promise that Jesus has shed his blood for you, that he has paid with his death for you, that he has risen from the tomb for you. You're God's children. But then there's those who are in darkness. Those who live in darkness, they're the ones who get tricked. You see, because God's word tells us, as we all know, that we don't know the time, we don't know the day, we don't know the hour, we don't know anything about when the last day is coming. But we always hear in culture how these different prophecies sort of crop up, these different prophecies sort of emerge. Well, it's going to be December 21st in the year 2025. You know, I don't know when the next one's supposed to be. There was a few that happened a few years ago. You know, the end of the Mayan calendar is coming. And, you know, for those in the world, they sort of look at these things and they go, oh, no. And so they start to plan, right? They stockpile their guns or, you know, they get those little, like, buckets, survival buckets that are filled with, like, food and, like, blankets and other sorts of nonsense. And they sort of, like, amass this stuff for when society falls apart and the world ends. Or, you know, heaven forbid they do this thing where they, you know, sell off all their assets, right? They get rid of their house and they sort of live it up for a year. Just do whatever they want. Just have a bunch of fun. Because when that day comes, they want to spend their last cent, except the day comes and then goes. And then they're still here. And then they have nothing. But the problem is they haven't been enlightened. They haven't been given the truth. They don't know that all of these worldly prophecies about the end of the world, they're utterly false and literally worthless. How can I be so sure? Well, God's word tells us. Nobody knows. And so let's just stick with that. But Paul goes on, right? We have this sleeping versus awake thing. And so then there are those who are asleep, those who are not prepared. And they're convinced that they're sort of secure in the world now. Right? They don't have to be alert. They don't have to be awake. They don't have to be ready. There's no end coming. The world's just going to go on and on forever. And granted, if there is an end, there's certainly not going to be a judgment. There's certainly not going to be any repercussions for the end. And so they go on having fun and maybe not worrying about anything and sort of living without any morals, so to speak. Reminds me really of this verse from our last hymn we just sung. It says, "Then woe to those who scorned the Lord and sought but carnal pleasures, who here despised his precious word and loved their earthly treasures. With shame and trembling they will stand at the judge's stern command and to Satan be delivered." Because God calls Christians to be awake, to be ready, to be those who are sort of watching the signs of the times. And that way, when the Lord does come riding on the clouds, you can sort of welcome Jesus as a good thing. Not as something to be feared. And the truth is that we are those people, right? We see all of the atrocities that go on in our world. We see, you know, what was there this week? A flooding in Greece. Last I checked, which was a few days ago, there were 14 people killed. There were earthquakes in California and Mexico and the Middle East all within the last month. A few months ago, there were hurricanes battering our country one after another. And, you know, places like Puerto Rico still enduring the trauma from those events. Threats of wars with North Korea. We hear all of these things. And we see them and we go, well, certainly the Lord must be coming again. Well, why do we know? Well, because God's word has enlightened us to that. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, when you hear of these natural disasters, we know that these are but the labor pains before Jesus comes again. These are the things that point us to the fact that Jesus' return is imminent. Now, can I tell you it'll be in the next year? No. Can I tell you it'll be in the next 10 years? No. But could it be? Yes. It could be in the next 10 seconds. We don't know. But the truth is, God wants us to be prepared. Which brings us to this sort of last analogy, this drunkenness versus sobriety things. Well, there are plenty of places in Scripture where Paul writes about the dangers and the sin of drinking in excess. But that's not what he's doing here. Here he uses this drunkenness thing as an analogy. And if you've ever encountered a drunk person, or granted, if you've ever been a drunk person, you know how this works, right? There's slurring of speech. There's stumbling, right? Where you just can't quite stand on your own 2 feet. You're tripping over yourself. And then there's that time where you start making poor decisions. All three of these things accompany drunkenness like it's, I mean, they go hand in hand, right? And so what this points us to is this carelessness and indulgent desires of the flesh, and those people who avoid God's instruction, they're unable to discern anything. They prefer the ignorance, the drunkenness, rather than the sobriety of God's word. Okay? They make poor judgment calls. Oh, I don't need to go to church because God will be there for me whenever I need to go, maybe later in life. Except if Jesus comes before later in life, you're going to be done for. You're going to be fine stumbling over your words when you come before the judgment seat of God. You're going to be found not on the firm foundation of God's word, as sort of this place where we can stand secure, but instead you're going to be stumbling all over yourself. Why? Well, because you had poor judgment. No, God wants something different for Christians. You are God's people. You belong to the day where the light of God's word rules. So at all times, God wants you to live in sober vigilance, keeping your wits about you, not stumbling, but standing on that word of God and actually trusting, not in your own judgment, not in your own flesh, not in your own goodness, but trusting in the promise of salvation that God has given you. And what it means is that when you stand before that judgment seat of God, you're not going to stumble over your words. You're not going to slur them all together as if you don't know how to speak. You're going to say, no, Jesus was my hope my entire life and still is. You'll be able to tell the Lord that he is your Savior. And what's his response? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of your master. See, it brings us to the end of this reading. Paul says, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. The truth is, this has all been very nice words so far, but how do you get the gift? How can you be 100% sure that you are awake and living in the light and sober according to God's command, according to his promise? How can you be sure beyond the shadow of a doubt? Well, God has given you the means to do that too. We call it the means of grace. The way that God has promised to work for you, even in the year 2017, into the year 2018, and for all years after until Jesus comes again. He says he works through you through the word of God. Do you read it? Do you believe it? Then you're equipped. Then you are ready for Jesus to return. Are you baptized? Have you received the blood and cross and empty tomb of Jesus as water was poured on your head? Then yes, you are equipped. You are ready for Jesus to come again. When he sees you, he won't see your sin. He will see that you have been covered by the blood of Christ. Have you been to receive the Lord's Supper? Because in that meal, God promises forgiveness, life, and salvation, that your sins are utterly wiped out, and that you are well prepared, you are strengthened for every day until the Lord comes again. This is what the armor of God looks like. The breastplate of faith and love. It relies on what Jesus does for you, and it projects itself in your service towards God and one another. The helmet of salvation is the hope that you have, believing and knowing that you are redeemed in the blood of Jesus, that he has purchased and won you and declared you forgiven and righteous for the sake of Jesus Christ. And friends, we know not the day or the hour. We have no clue when Jesus will come again. But we know that he's coming soon. And so today, let us be prepared, living as children of light in all alertness and sobriety, as we put on the armor of God, which protects us both in body and soul. You are prepared. And so we join our prayer with the church of all times. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.